Hola, you are listening to Las Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all true crime for Hispanic and American crimes.
¿Quién somos?
I'm Osa.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Jen.
Y somos Las Chicas del Crime.
Hello, hello. Hola.
How we doing? How we doing?
We is good. And actually, before I forget, I wanted to shout out two people, right?
Oh.
I wanted to shout out my mom because she actually listens to us. I didn't think she listened to us, so hola, mommy. And my friend Letty. She is the best. Like, the other day, I met up with her after recording, and she was like, are you drunk of wine? And I was like, how do you know that? And she goes, girl, I listen to your podcast and you always talk about, I'm going to drink some wine. And I'm like, oh my God. So, and she's always like, you guys didn't drop this week. What happened? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So shout out to Letty and shout out to my mom. I appreciate you guys.
Shout out.
We appreciate you guys.
Yes, 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 we do. Thank you for listening.
Te queremos.
Mucho. But with that being said, and since Letty always asks us for the episodes, this will be our last episode of the season. So are we going into season four?
We are going into season four.
Season four. Oh my God. Me and Jen are going to take over season four and make season four our bitch.
Yes. Season four is probably going to be our best season yet. Even though I'm sad Kat's not with us right now.
Oh, yeah, we miss Kat 100%. But,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We have to make the best out of it. And we're working on making the best 100. Out of it. Yes. Jen and I have been working really hard. We've been throwing out ideas. We're finally finalizing the freaking website. You guys could buy merch, could go there, and we're gonna have Patron tiers, and you guys can donate. You guys don't have to. We're gonna have everything ready. We're gonna have everything set up. So we're taking the holidays is just hard for everybody, so it's hard for us to record. Unfortunately, we're not we don't have many pre-recorded episodes where we can still put out. So we're going to work on that. We're going to work on a lot of things. And middle of January, we're going to be back. We're going to be their best. And everything will be done by then because we're still going to be working. We're just not going to be putting out episodes from here to, well, from next week to middle of January. We'll still keep up with the Instagram. I'm still trying to get Twitter back. Twitter's been tripping. So, you know, just bear with us, stay with us. We're going to come back. We're going to be great. I mean, we're already great. We're going to be great.
It's going to be greater.
And you guys will be able to buy merch. You guys will be able to support us in other ways. You guys will be able to, you know, send ideas. Stock. You guys still send ideas now, but yeah. So that
it'll
is.
It'll be all in one place.
All in one place. That was our announcements, our shout outs, and now we're ready for Jen. Jen, Jen,
yeah, yeah, Jen, yeah, 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 yeah. All right. So today I am going to take y'all to Italy.
Oh,
specifically, yes. Yeah, I don't think we've done Italy yet. I don't think we've been there yet. Not. And if we have, I can't recall.
My son is Italian. He's having
all jazz.
25% Italian, yeah.
But so, like a scene. Oh, look at that. Okay, we're going back to our boys' roots. This one's although this story is a little, but the roots. We're here for the roots. Okay. So we're going to specifically the Vatican City. And I am not gonna lie, this story inspired an idea for season four. We'll talk offline. All right. So we are gonna talk about none other than Emanuela Orlandi. She was One of four siblings living in the Vatican City, her dad and grandfather had positions in the Vatican, like actually working for the clerk, as clerks and stuff like that in the Vatican City for one of the offices. I couldn't find which one specifically. But yeah, so that's why they lived in the Vatican City. For those who may not know all of the background of the Vatican City, because some people really do not.
Actually,
it isn't.
I'm glad that you're going to go into it, because I was just about to literally tell you. That's crazy. I've always known about the Vatican, but I didn't even know there was jobs there. I thought people just, you know, you're a monja, you're a priest, and you're there.
Oh, no.
But
no,
it makes a lot of sense. So please do educate me, because I'm here.
I got you. So Vatican 101, Las Chicas way. So the Vatican City is exactly that. It is a city, but it's actually considered a sovereign state inside of Rome. What sovereign state means is essentially it's its own independent state. So you know how like Europe is made of countries?
Correct.
And we are states within one country. It's a little different. So think of it like that. The Vatican is a state within Rome, within Italy. But because of that, because of it, that setup like that, they have their own laws, regulations, government, like they have their own everything, even though they are a part of a different country. So the Vatican, technically the Vatican City's population's like no more than like 2,000 people. And essentially the people that live within the Vatican City are because they either have ties to the Vatican or something, like they work there or something, but it's not one of those places where people just go to live just to live. Like there has to be like long ties, basically is what I came to find out about the Vatican residents. So that is why Emanuela and her family were residents of the Vatican City, because her father and her father's father had jobs within the Vatican. They were clerks. Because you also have to think about the Vatican is the head of the Catholic Church. So this is where all of the ordinance takes place for all of the Catholic Church across the world and all that stuff. So yeah, there's people that are a part of there to actually hold titles that help keep the Catholic Church business alive. Emphasis on the business.
The child trafficking business.
Oh, yes. Which is... which we'll kind of hear about in this story. Not too much, but we'll kind of touch there.
I just know my grandma's in heaven looking down at me like, bitch, I thought you would be a good Catholic woman. I'm sorry, grandma. I failed.
Not here.
They're very shitty.
We don't mean to offend anybody if you identify as Catholic, but your church sucks.
I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic, and I know the church fucking sucks. I just believe in, you know, what we were taught, which is Virgin Maria and the saints and stuff. But at the same time, bitch, be knowing. And I am not a blind follower of anything. Therefore, it's just kind of like, I be knowing, bitch. I be knowing.
We be watching. Yeah, everyone pretty much in my family is Catholic outside of my mom, even though we did grow up with like church background, but my mom never really identified as Catholic per se. But like my dad, my grandma, and everybody else back in DR is heavily Catholic. Yikes. I just can't. I've gone to a couple misas before and I'm like, I cannot. This is like, No puedo. It's just not lively enough.
I think Mexican Catholic churches are very different than American Catholic churches. I'm not sure. I've never been to church in America. I actually don't even know how to pray in English. And I know you guys are going to say, Mexico's America too. It's a joke. It's a concurrent joke that I make. Get fucking over it, okay? I know my continent, okay? But anyways,
he means American,
yeah,
traditional American culture.
Americans, the American, yeah. American.
Yeah, that's what she means. Focus coming up in here now. They'll be coming up in here. No, I'm kidding. You better relax.
We gonna ignore you. Goodbye. I don't give a fuck.
Oh my god. All right. Go ahead. So back to Emanuela. So her brother recounted that they had a really good childhood, that they always felt safe, and that basically the Vatican gardens were literally always available to them like their own backyard. And he's like, this literally was the safest place in the world, which, I mean, it probably is the safest place in the world, considering. But safe in, I guess it depends how you define safe. So maybe not say that. Let me not say that. Because there's obviously some things that happened there that are not safe. Anywho, so on the 22nd of June of 1983, Emanuela left her family home wearing a white t-shirt and overalls, and she was carrying her flute case. She was on her way to her music class as she was learning, or she was hoping to become a professional flute player. She even had some stuff set up. She was going to play the flute for her sister's wedding and all that stuff coming up. And she had some concerts and recitals going on. She was actually pretty good, according to sources. Okay. But before she left the house to go to school that day, or music class, excuse me, she had asked her brother to accompany her on the bus to her class, which is a mile away. But her brother had other commitments. Since that day, her brother recounts that this has been a very painful memory. And he fought over it every day. You may be asking, why is it so painful that you didn't take her to music class? Well, because after that fight, he has never seen his sister again.
No.
And let's get into it. So, right. So reports say, prior to her disappearing, reports say that she got to school late. She was really distracted, and some of her classmates said that she was telling people she was going to drop out of school and sell Avon products, which I laughed so hard when I heard Avon products. But then I remembered what time we were in, and it was the 80s, and that's when Avon products were like the shit. Okay, everybody had Avon.
What? Yes. No, yeah, it's I just, it's true. But the other day I saw a car that still said Avon, and I was like, Miss May,
it's still around.
Yeah, but I didn't think anybody was like actively selling it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I just haven't seen it in a long time, because, you know, people used to come around and knock on your door and be like, hey, I'm selling Avon. I haven't seen that in forever. So I was just like, dang, is this like real right now? Or like,
yeah, right. That's exactly what I said when I heard Avon. I was like, oh, this is a throwback. Jesus. But yeah, so apparently she had been approached by some man and a woman that had like basically talked her into this whole Avon situation, and was like really hyping it up. And again, Avon was a very known brand. Everybody had Avon. Everybody was selling Avon. It was a hot commodity back in the 80s. So for her, she was thinking it was going to be a hot popping idea. She was going to make a lot of money and, you know, be able to be on her way. But I mean, you're 15. Like, what's the press? What's the press on having your own money to, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like weird. But so she was telling her classmates that this all happened to her, and that she was going to drop out of school and sell Avon products and all that stuff. And eventually, later that afternoon, she had called her sister and told her the same scenario, and that she was interested, and that, you know, she wanted to commit to this whole thing. But her sister was like, you should kind of pump the brakes and let's talk to our parents before you commit to doing this. And Emanuela said, yeah, you're right, blah, 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 whatever, and then hung up the phone. And apparently she had also made another phone call that she was going to meet with her other sister later in that evening at one of the piazzas, which is, for if y'all don't know, it's a plaza. But at one of the piazzas there in the area, and they were going to go and just hang out or whatever. But apparently after she spoke to the other sister first and told her about the whole Avon thing or whatever, that's really the last known time anybody had ever talked to her again.
Oh, wow.
But during that day, I guess right after she got out of class, eyewitnesses say that they were seen with the green BMW talking to her, and she got in the car, And eyewitnesses do recall seeing an actual, like, Avon bag in the car. So the whole Avon situation, basically, to everybody, starting to align, because they're thinking this must be one of the men or the woman or whatever that was just she was just talking about. So no one really thought much of it.
Shit, if the Avon people that are talking to me have a Beamer or a fucking BMW, I might sell Avon too. This is, go ahead, get your coins.
Okay, I know that's right.
Well, not really, because she hasn't been seen, but yeah, no, without the true crime of it.
Right. The business aspect. Get you back.
Yes.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, she had spoken to her sister, called the other one to make those plans, and she never showed. So that other, her first sister was the one that basically was last known person to talk to her outside of the strangers in the BMW. Now, due to the fact that, you know, the family is not really tied into any criminal activity, and, you know, this girl's very calm and very focused and collected and all that stuff, there's like, well, who the hell would want to, you know, either take her, or who would she run off with? Like, just things didn't really necessarily add up, because it's like, why would she, what is motivating her to run away to sell Avon or whatever the case may be? So speculations were, you know, saying that there's some motive here that perhaps was kind of, I guess, inspiring her to have this situation, because really there was no home reason for her to leave.
Right.
So with that said, a lot of people also started saying that maybe the Vatican was involved.
Oh.
And now this is where things get interesting. Three days later, from June 22nd, Pierre Luigi called the Orlandi's home to report that his girlfriend knew of someone that matched Emanuela's description. She had glasses, a flute, that she had glasses, which is true. Emanuela did have glasses, but she barely wore them unless she was playing the flute. She didn't like the way she looked at them. And she was going by the name of Barbara, and she was telling people that she was selling cosmetics. Throughout that same day or a day later or so, another man by the name of Mario claimed he knew someone who matched the same description, also going by the name of Barbara and also selling cosmetics. Who the fuck is Pierre, Luigi, and Mario? We really don't know. And if you hear the names Luigi and Mario, they don't even really sound like real names.
Right. This sounds like a game.
Okay. So, excuse me. With this said, now we have these leads so far that she's been spotted by two people. She's going by the name Barbara, selling Avon, blah, blah. Throughout that time, the Pope, Jean-Paul Deus, made a speech declaring that he knew Emanuela and the Orlandi family, and to please, if anybody had her or knew about her whereabouts, to please come forth with the information. Which this movement or action, should I say, was heavily criticized by the people, because they said that now whoever had Emanuela knew that she was of value to the Vatican of some kind and potentially used her life as leverage in some sort of business with the Vatican, which is a potential case, if you ask me, because if the Pope's coming on the TV and saying he knows you and his family,
right,
at that point the resources are unlimited, so you know what I mean, anybody who's gonna put together some type of scam or scheme or whatever the fuck.
All right,
sure. After the Pope's speech, the Orlandis kept getting weird phone calls, some more tips, you know, as one does always, all these people with these false tips and shit. Which, you know, it's really annoying how people do that, because what a fucked up situation for you to choose to be annoying with a missing person, like, or like a crime.
A lot of people do that, and it's just like,
but no. For what? You know, like, for like, yeah. What do you get out of it? You're torturing a family in the sense, because you're giving them false hope.
A lot of people, it's just the attention. But even then, like, go run naked down the street, get that attention.
Okay. I don't, yeah. Don't, don't lie on someone's situation.
Yeah, don't victimize the victims even more. Like, that's traumatic as fuck.
For your own personal gain, you're sick. You're sick.
Very fuck. Much so.
So after the Pope's speech, one of these repeated phone calls that the family kept getting was from a man that they nicknamed El Americano, La Americano in the way Italians speak, because he had an American accent, according to them. So they nicknamed him the American, pretty much. Essentially, what this man was calling to request was that the family make a business deal with the Vatican and get Namad Ali Arka released. Who that is, you ask? That is a man that 2 years prior to the situation here tried to assassinate the fucking Pope, John Paul II. So he's in custody for this attempt of assassination. And whoever the hell El Americano is, he out here requesting his release. And people start thinking that now Emanuela's disappearance has something to do with this situation. Because out of all people, why are they calling this family to ask of this request during such a time? So now they start thinking that she's kidnapped by an opposing political party, you know, people that have beef, whatever. And the man kept saying like she was alive and like all this stuff, whatever, but he never presented proof that she was alive. He never presented proof of life, except for the fact that he did come forth and have a copy of her registration from school.
Hold on.
Sorry. Sorry, y'all. This mom is tired. Had a copy of the registration card from school and some sheet music that she had been studying. So it's just very interesting that information that's not released of hers, say in search of like the fact that she has a flute, she's in school, she's up for to play a flute. So they have the registration card for her school and the sheet music. So the family's like, oh, fuck, like, they must really have our daughter. Like, how else could they not? If this is not information to the public and they're saying that, you know, anybody would think such as that. So after this call, many other opposing groups as well started to, for whatever reason, start sending letters and making phone calls to this family requesting the same thing, the release of this guy. So everyone was like, this doesn't fucking make sense, because why are multiple groups now getting involved and asking for this, the release of this person, while our family has now just been declared missing, our daughter, excuse me. So a lot of speculation starts going on, of course, and another additional name was brought out of a previous girl that had been killed. Her name was Manuela Gregori. She was killed in 1983. Someone had buzzed into her intercom and told her that it was her friend. When she went downstairs and told her mom that she was going to go speak to her friend, she ended up never coming back, never seen again. So they're thinking that because this girl's name was mentioned, that they had something to do with that and could potentially have something to do with this girl's disappearance now.
Okay.
So now they're having a potential lead. Yeah. So the family eventually gets a hold of a city operative, a Vatican City operative named Julio. I think Google spelled his name wrong. So I don't want to say his last name because that was not the last name I originally read, but we're going to just call him Julio. Okay. So Julio was a Vatican City operative who was very close to the family. And he started doing some investigation around town and seeing what he could find. Well, he came across a mechanic who had said that he had seen a similar car because he had just recently done some work on it, on the green BMW.
Okay.
And Julio was like, okay, well, what kind of work did you do on this car? And the mechanic had claimed that it was that he fixed a window that seemed to have been broken from the inside out.
Interesting.
Correcto. So Julio was like, okay, well, what more information can you give me on this? Like, who brought this car in? What did they look like? You know, give me something I can work off of. Well, Julio ended up getting a phone number and an address. So he pulled up. And it happened to be some female. I'm going to speculate it was the same female that Emanuela had originally mentioned to people that was talking to her about the whole Avon situation.
Makes sense.
Right. So Julio pulls up and the woman automatically gets super defensive. And she's like, you shouldn't be here. I have nothing to say to you, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And yelled at him to leave. So he leaves and he returns back to the secret ops, whatever office. And he's told by his leads and his upper management that he's to not follow that lead ever again, that he is not to show up at the house ever again or talk to that woman ever again. But no one ever told him why. So
that's weird.
Correct. So the case basically kind of goes cold there because all of the potential leads and all of these false accusations or false identities that people ended up giving and reporting ended up leading to nowhere. So the case basically went cold for a long time. Until July 3rd, 2019. When the Vatican, after many years, finally agreed to open the tombs, that were hidden underneath one of the cathedrals or one of the thingy-majiggies right. in the Vatican, because there was a letter that was received by the family the summer in 2018 that said, if you want to find Emanuela, look where the angel is pointing. And it included a picture of an angel that was pointing to the Tatacoon Cemetery, which is the cemeteries that are inside of the Vatican City. And I might be pronouncing that wrong. Sorry. But they're inside of the Vatican City. They have their own cemeteries and, you know, the popes and big people have been buried in there. So the angel, which I'm going to end up posting a picture of, the angel was pointing to one of those cemeteries. So the family was like, oh my God, somebody's sending us a clue. Somebody's sending us a sign, because why 30 years later would we be getting a note of telling us to look under the Vatican basically for her?
Right.
So on July 11th, the tombs were open and DNA testing started taking place to see if any of those remains were connected to Emanuela. The crazy part about this, though, and I found this to be so interesting, which I definitely want to do something about this as well. Their searches for her ended up leading them to basically a whole underground tunnel of bones.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever heard of the catacombs in France.
I have not.
So basically the catacombs were an underground, I guess you can, let's call it a tunnel for purposes, but it's an underground tunnel basically that was created because during the Black Plague, I believe it was, or one of those really large pandemics back then, there were so many people that were dying that they had like no place to really put them or anything like that.
Oh, yes. So, yes. I heard of them.
So it's basically underneath the ground in France. Yes, exactly.
I just didn't know what they were called, but I've heard about this before. Yes.
The catacombs. Yeah. So basically them digging for her led them to a subpart of that. And there was just like a whole thing. And they literally tested the entire thing to see if any of those DNAs represented her. Can you believe, this is actually just a fun fact about this, but can you believe that they were not able to find any remains dated after the 1800s. I was like, cool, good, because it's good to know that no one has had access to bury people down there. You know what I'm saying? But also very interesting.
Very much so.
I'm like, damn. So in hundreds of years, that's been pretty much like untouched, like, you know, preserved. I can't even imagine what the hell it feels like down there. It's probably cold and scary.
Scary indeed. That it. Mm-hmm. Scary.
Then I also thought about it. I'm like, ooh, what about the disease that could be down there still? Like,
Yes. 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 That's.
You know what I mean?
Hold on there.
Oh, that could be true. That's a good point. That is a very good point. So yeah, so this kind of led to like a rabbit hole of a lot of other things, which I love cases that do that, that uncover other things that need to be kind of sorted through, because it's like, yes, look at all this information coming up. But in this situation, it kind of sucks because nothing really came about. Like, they couldn't find her remains. Nothing there really led back to her at all. There was no sign of her there, period. But the family wasn't giving up hope of still searching into the Vatican and finding some connection of involvement with them, because they knew that there was either it was in terms of retaliation towards the Vatican, or the Vatican knew something and they were not releasing information. And I am not, what?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I am not here to say anything or incriminate anybody, because I ain't trying to go missing either. But if you listen to this information, it is kind of suspect. So I don't know. You know, the Vatican has a lot to hide.
I agree. And plus, they did tell Julio to not go asking that one specific person. That came from the Vatican, one. And two, like, why did it come from the Vatican? Like, why is that person being protected? Well, was being protected by the Vatican? Like, when somebody of their own had just went missing, somebody young, exactly. Somebody who, you know, yeah, no. I also believe that there's something there.
Yeah. So their brother is just obviously, you know, they're doing their own investigation, their brother and the family, which shit, I would too. You know what? Call us. Hermano, call us. We'll continue with this investigation with you, because something ain't right here. And I don't care if it's 40 years later. We finna figure out what happened to your sister, bro. Okay?
And not only that, somebody has got to know something, because why after 40 years, like, there was a letter sent to the family? And I get it, people still be trolling, but for somebody to troll it, they have to have known about that case. And what are the odds that somebody learned about the case 40 years later to troll? Like, that makes no sense.
And there has, exactly. And there has to be somebody out there that knows, because again, let's go back to those spontaneous calls that they were getting. And the people that were reporting some information was information that was never released to the public.
Absolutely. And like 40 years, like, let's say it was somebody young who had something to do with it. They could very much still be alive. So,
yeah.
Somebody out there knows something. So,
yeah, somebody definitely does.
Oh, Julio's not the brother, right? Julio's the other guy. Well, brother, yeah, call us.
The brother's name is Pietro.
Pietro, call us. Llámanos.
Yes. Yes, please. Because we finna find out. So, yeah, because so their brother didn't want to give up hope, because of course he knows that the Vatican has a reputation of hiding things, you know, taking the side of their priests even when they were found guilty. You know, because another really bad thing about that is that they're basically just transferred to a different place after, you know, some of these cases are open. So it's like, okay, so really these people do cover up a lot of things, so who really fucking knows if they're ever going to find anything? So he's like, I'm not going to give up on my sister. It was also speculation said that Emanuela was being used in a sex ring that had to do with officials within the Vatican, meaning maybe it was the officials themselves within the Vatican that did without her because they knew that she had some information, or obviously she's a part of the stuff, so they had to get rid of her. You know?
That's a good theory as well.
Yeah, so people believe that she was killed to cover that up, or they gave her a different identity and she's living somewhere else.
I mean, I guess I understand why they wouldn't tell the parents, but like, dang, girl, you can't call your parents and tell them you're alive?
Well, that's also because then again, we don't know why she was ever abducted if that's exactly what happened. Like, you know, so what if maybe she's just choosing not to call because she knows that if she does let her family know she's alive, that's going to put her family in jeopardy. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But I just feel like it didn't sound like there was anything ongoing to where she could be jeopardized, or her life, obviously, or her family could be jeopardized. And then, you know, we're like, the Vatican is the one that's putting you in a protective custody. Like, I don't know. If it is,
it was
like
a little fishy.
Yeah, it's still fishy. Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So, a couple days later, there had been a phone call in between a priest in the central office of the Vatican Vigilance. I guess so. Security is from what I'm gathering. His name was Raul Bonarelli. And he was speaking on the phone with his boss. No name was given. He was told to deny any knowledge of the investigations of the Vatican and Emanuela's disappearance. Hmm. So, again, more people telling people to specifically cover it up. So then her brother also believes that, aside from all this information, there is the disappearance of his sister... is being covered up by the Vatican potentially because he believes that there was a ransom that was requested, but the Vatican either never paid it or wasn't going to pay it because it was too expensive or what have you. But they never even released to the family that there was a ransom that was asked of. He found it out through a different source. Or he found out the speculation through a different source. So he believes that the Vatican, you know, is just really just covering up a lot of shit. Because
the Vatican involved, period.
Exactly, because we just heard their own two priests within telling each other, you know, one telling the other one to completely deny any involvement into the investigation. So with all of this in mind, there was rumors that the people that were actually involved were a criminal gang that was called Banda della Magliano. They were active, which is the only reason they're not active no more, which is the only reason I was comfortable talking about this, just saying. They were only active between the years of the late 70s to the early 90s, which means they were very much active and thriving during the years Emanuela disappeared. This group had said to have strong ties between a lot of people in the Vatican and a lot of people in the city and the banks and all that shit. A lot of their money was invested in the bank that was affiliated with the Vatican, which also was the bank that the Italian mafia had their money in. So, you know, this is a high ranking bank.
This is the bank.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, the bank decrashed and lost a shit ton of money.
That's not bueno.
No. And so this gang here, Banda del Magliano, lost millions and millions of dollars. And so they were like, well, we know the Vatican is affiliated with this bank, so we need to go after the Vatican. So their speculation said that they planned to abduct Emanuela in hopes of receiving a ransom because they knew that the Vatican was an easy target to get their money back. I mean, it's the fucking Vatican. So because of all of this stuff going on, the Vatican had been warned over this information and that they were being targeted due to getting ransom and money and all that stuff. And there was no word, like they never released any warning to anybody else about this. It was kind of like kept in the hush hush. So the Vatican knew something was going to happen to them at some point, but didn't take precautionary measures. Well, all of this, one of Emanuela's friends finally came out and spoke about that a lot of the things that were happening up until Emanuela's disappearance. And Emanuela's friend even said that she believes she was also being followed and watched prior to Emanuela being taken or disappearing. So much so that her own family was so spooked that they unplugged the phone and like disconnected the phone number and like all that stuff, whatever. And basically, you know, just kind of locked down the family. It was also said that Emanuela had actually been picked up by two guys and thrown into a car, and one of them had asked the other one, oh, is this the one? And Emanuela kind of wrote it off because she was thinking Italian men just being Italian men, kind of being overly aggressive with women and blah, 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 but she didn't really think anything of it. So I have a really hard time understanding the story because there's no clear-cut path here. There's no actual suspect. There's no intention. There's no reason. There's no nothing. Like, there's just nothing to fucking go off of other than a whole bunch of leads that are false. Nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking of the one guy who was arrested for trying to assassinate the Pope. Like, how did her kidnapping become about letting him free? And I feel like all these theories that, you know, you got by researching or whatever, these theories people came up with, but nothing leads back to the one thing that was actively happening while Manuela was kidnapped, which was the ransom calls to let this man free. So, because I just feel like, okay, cool. Her family members worked at the Vatican, but what kind of power could have they have to free the man that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, just a lot of things, like you said, they don't add up. There's not like any real leads. There's not any leads that make sense. Like, they're just.
It's just a hot mess.
It's just a bunch of theories that, you know what I'm saying, are from people. Like, now the friend is saying that she was being watched too. Like, okay.
Why didn't you say that before?
Right. Like, why? It's just. Yeah, that's odd. This is very odd.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it really didn't make sense to me because I'm like, obviously, somebody who was in close proximity of this family knows what happened to her. Because also then it's like, who the hell were Pierre, Luigi, and Mario? And how the fuck did they get this family's phone number?
And why the fuck were they named that? Like,
okay,
how does Luigi find Mario? Por favor.
I would like to know how Pierre Luigi calls first and then you get a Mario. Coincidence? Yeah, I think not.
Very weird.
So it's like somebody obviously knows something about in the background and they use this family as leverage to either cover something up or get themselves rid of something. You know what I mean? Like, they were definitely targeted for some certain reason. And it just sucks that this case went cold for so long multiple times. Cause it's like, you know, after they had searched the things, so they looked twice into the Vatican. The first time they were just looking at the tombs that were like placed inside these halls and stuff like that, you know, those big cement looking things.
Yeah.
And then the second time that led to the underground tunnels or whatever, were when they actually went down and, you know, looked for what's like buried in the cemeteries and shit, the Teutonic cemeteries. So where's I going with that? I kind of lost where I was going with that.
No, you were saying that, like, this is a hard case. I do think that everything kind of comes back to the Vatican, though. Like, something had to do with them, because the only two orders that were given by the Vatican was basically, like, don't talk about it, and then don't question this one person. And I honestly feel like Julio should have told the family who that woman was, and then maybe the family could have done their own investigative work or get a PI or something. Because this is very weird. Yeah, that she was never found, right?
No, she was never found, never seen again. They did end up, like, throughout the years, they had gotten some leads that she was seen here and seen there and this and that. So, like, the family always kept hope that she is alive. But she's never been found. There's never been any actual clues or anything like that. So that's why this case is just so crazy to me. Because it's like, I don't even have words. And then the thing is, oh, I forgot to mention. I just realized I forgot this part. The guy that El Americano, when he was calling and stuff, he would also play, like, recordings of her voice. Like, I don't know if it was done much prior or whatever, but there was times where, like, he would play certain recordings and it was her saying her name and that she went to such and such school and all that stuff. But it was never, they couldn't actually, you know, like, use it to say that, like, he had her or whatever, because that could have been recorded at any point in time.
Yeah.
So my thing is that there is too much that leads to the Vatican and bad business that they're involved in than anything else.
Mm-hmm. I agreed. Because maybe, like you said, okay, the family worked there. Maybe she saw something she shouldn't have. She heard something she shouldn't have had. And then they, you know what I'm saying, did something to her. And then they try to cover up by all these, like, weird things, like telling people, like calling them and telling them to, you know what I'm saying, to release that one guy. Then the Vatican, if she was around them, like, they could have recorded her, like, asking her questions, like, oh, what's your name? Where do you go? Like, anything, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially at that time, it was, like, new technology. You could have recorded that or whatever. But and then, like, whatever plus years later, you know what I'm saying, like, 40 plus years later, they call and they're like, oh, she's at the Vatican. Like, what are the odds that everything goes back to the Vatican? Like, it doesn't matter which funky business it was through, it just seems to have been the Vatican.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, well, that's my case on Emanuela Orlandi and in the Vatican.
I'm gonna look into this. I am very
like I said, idea.
Oh yeah, that's we'll have a whole season for that, because whoo boy.
Yeah, there is a lot of crazy shit on the Vatican and stuff that is, it's literal knowledge that's publicly known information. So it's not like,
and nothing is done about it because they can't get touched because all the money they have.
Not even also that, it's the money they have, but it's also they make their own laws and shit. You know what I mean? They don't have, they're not entitled to, right? They don't have anybody to really tell them anything other than the Pope. And well, I'll keep that one to myself. But
it's so funny because, like, now, like, that I'm grown, like I said, I grew up in a very religious Catholic home. And, like, there was something that happened to him. I think he fell or something, or maybe they tried to attempt against his life. And, like, bro, that shit was, my grandma was so sad. And then I'm like, now I'm just, and I remember, like the whole house was sad as fuck about it. And now that I'm older, I'm like, I don't think he was that good of a person. And then, like, in Mexico, he did, like, some stuff that were, I guess, good. I don't remember clearly because I was so young, but I definitely remember them being like, oh, he's so good. He does this, he does that, whatever. And they, they made him a saint. So in Mexico, he's not just Juan Pablo II, this is John Paul II. He is San Pablo II because he's a saint now. Yeah, he's Saint John Paul II. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
And the only other people that I think have been made saints are Juan Diego and maybe Mother Teresa. I don't, I'm not 100% sure of Mother Teresa, but I know Juan Diego was made a saint, but that's still out. Crazy to me.
Mother Teresa.
A saint in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
A Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
I am up to date with my Catholic saints. Okay. Okay. It's so funny.
She was.
Go ahead. Huh?
Go ahead. I was going to say she was considered the patron saint of Calcutta. In India, the Vatican on Wednesday declared, this is September 6, 2017, on Wednesday declared Mother Teresa patron saint of the Archdiocese of Calcutta at a mass in the city where she was dedicated her life to the poorest of the poor.
Shit, that's another case we could talk about because I heard shit was not as sweet as people think it was in that house. And it's so funny because once again, right, my grandma, oh my God, my grandma was a saint. She should be made Saint Aurelia, Santa Aurelia, because she was a saint. She literally, like, that believed in religion and our respect, you know, whatever. And, like, she was just a good person. My grandma was, like, a good-ass person, right? And I remember one time, my oldest cousin, she's probably, like, 10 years older than me, like, 10 to 14 years older than me. And, like, I was in my feelings. I was a child, and I was like, I'm just so good to people, and they're good to me. And she was like, oh, shut up. You think you're Mother Teresa. And my grandma, who never, ever even raised her voice at us, was like, you don't talk about Mother Teresa like that. You don't mention name and name. Bro, she kicked my cousin out of the house.
Oh my God. She was ready to catch a charge.
Yeah. Bro, the reason my grandma didn't play, like, she didn't, like, kick her out forever, but she was like, get out. Don't come back till your mom gets home because I'm not trying to hear this. Bro, it was the funniest thing ever. And my grandma, bro, I tell you, my grandma growing up, all she ever told us when we were being bad as hell, and we was bad as hell, was like, ay, hijas, no sean tontas. No sean tontas. That's all she ever told us. Should have fucking called us out of her name and cussed us ass out, but she never did. That lady was a saint, I'm telling you. A saint. Oh, Lord.
Talking about Catholic, she was ready to catch a charge.
A whole charge is very, very triggering a lot of my memories as a child. Not even bad memories, but just my memories in general. And I actually, like, it was three of us, my cousin, that we were close in our age. So it was my sister, my cousin Adri, and me. And we all was taken to church every Sunday. And we had to do all this shit because we were Catholic or whatever. And I'm the one that's, like, most religious, but I think I'm most religious because I'm more spiritual than them. Like, I have a lot of, like, spiritual feelings, so which is just kind of why I follow my religion, which I know is not, like, inclusive, like, of each other, but it's just, like, I believe in saints because I believe in other stuff, like, other
right.
Out of this quote-unquote world stuff.
Right.
So yeah, but that was a good case because it leaves people wondering because what happened to my life? We need to know.
And
there's gotta be people.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, it just makes me wonder the other people that, like, this case could be inspiring to, you know, to find as well.
Yeah, not only that, but, like, there has to be paperwork about that because I feel like them motherfuckers wrote everything down.
somewhere.
Yeah, it was the Vatican.
How do we get a warrant to the Vatican?
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could touch them because they were so, you know, it's whatever.
Girl, if it's been this long and the world is known about their abuse and all this stuff towards kids and haven't done shit about it, I don't even know if there is any reason to hope something would happen, because they really get away with so much stuff. It's not even funny.
With so much shit. And like you said, like, they don't even take those people off being priests. They just move them around the world. That's crazy. Wow, that's crazy. Well,
but see, that was my case. Thank you for listening.
I love it.
This
thank you triggered very much. Me, but I loved it.
My bad, I didn't mean to do that. but yeah, this concludes season 3.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being with us for another season. We appreciate y'all, the love and support. Yes, we wish you the best of holidays. Whatever it is you celebrate, may you and your family have the best.
The best of the best.
We'll be out here. And we'll see you guys. Season 4 will come ready with amazing cases, some different type of content, and a lot of cool things to bring to y'all. So get ready, because the chicas are about to really come with it. Stay tuned.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to La Chica del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list in the description of the episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as this helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.